Welcome to Bed Crime Stories Podcast. I'm your host, T. Over here at Bed Crime Stories, we do all things true crime. If that's your jam, consider subscribing. Also, if you find you enjoyed the video, please hit that like button. Please share. Please sign up for notifications. Yada, yada, yada. You know the drill. Mother of two, 27-year-old Veronica Butler, and a pastor's wife, 39-year-old Jillian Kelly, were driving from Kansas to Oklahoma on March 30th to pick up Butler's young daughter and son, ages 6 and 8, for her habitual Saturday supervised custody visit. That's when their vehicle was blocked on a rural road, allegedly by a married couple named Cole and Cora Twombly, ages 50 and 44 respectively. The Twomblys then allegedly lured the women to journey in another direction, whereupon Butler and Kelly were cornered, allegedly, by 54-year-old Tiffany Adams and her younger boyfriend, Tad Cullum. Take a look at Tad. Who could resist him? Another man named Paul Grice, supposedly, is also involved in this crime. Note that Veronica and Jillian's phones were actively sending signals to their carriers until about 9:42 a.m. that morning. After that, they stopped transmitting. Those phones have not been discovered. We know that Tiffany Adams purchased 5 stun guns from a local shop in Oklahoma in March after Veronica Butler filed a motion to grant her more visitation time with her children. A month earlier, Adams purchased 3 prepaid cell phones from the local Walmart. Based on these purchases, it would appear that Adams was plotting a sinister scheme for quite some time. Tiffany Adams is the paternal grandmother to Butler's 2 children, and while Tiffany's son, Wrangler Rickman, had full legal custody of those kids, it would appear that Tiffany was the one taking care of them at the time of this crime. And it's been said that there were moments when Tiffany would not even allow Wrangler to see his children. Talk about a controlling mother and a very scheming grandmother. This lady makes Ma Barker look like Mrs. Cleaver. Tiffany Adams, it's been said, was in a bitter custody battle with Veronica Butler. Wrangler, although he had legal custody, appears to have been an impotent player in this triangle. Now, when Veronica and Jillian didn't arrive home, where relatives were waiting to celebrate Butler's daughter's birthday by spending the day on a boat, 2 of Butler's relatives, Melissa and Joey Padilla, headed out on the road to trace Butler's path. 5 miles short of the agreed-upon location where Adams was to hand over the kids to Butler, a place called Four Corners, Butler's relatives came upon a disturbing scene. Veronica's abandoned car, blood in a pool on the roadway and the edge of the road, Veronica's eyeglasses on the ground, and menacingly, a broken hammer. Adding to the upset and the mystery was the fact that Jillian's purse was in the vehicle, and inside it was a pistol magazine, but not a weapon. Does this mean that Jillian brought that with her? And did she fight back? The Padillas immediately dialed 911. That call came into the local police station at approximately 9 minutes after the clock struck noon. According to the police, Veronica and Jillian arrived at that location at 9:40 a.m. So what happened between 9:40 and 9 minutes after noon? That's 2.5 hours. All the red stuff at the scene indicated a violent encounter at that location, which, by the way, is a very desolate, rural, dusty road. Not a lot of traffic there. You might say it was the perfect place to commit a crime, except for that blood. Later, Cora Twombly would tell her daughter that things didn't go as planned, which makes me think that Jillian did pull a weapon out of her purse, and there was a bit of a showdown at this location. The original plan was probably to use those stun guns to take the women to another location that was not as, shall we say, public facing. When the Popo arrived, they immediately suspected foul play. Well, yeah, I mean, that pool of red stuff. Days went by before Butler and Kelly's bodies were finally located, buried on pasture land that Tiffany Adams' boyfriend, Tad Cullum, leased so that he could graze cattle there. Three of those stun guns that Tiffany Adams purchased were also in the makeshift grave. Once the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, or OSBI as it's known, arrested Tiffany Adams, she sang like a little bird, and she admitted that she was responsible for the deaths of Butler and Kelly. Along with Adams, Tad Cullum and Cora and Cole Trombley were also arrested. All are charged with kidnapping, first degree blank, I think you know what I mean, and all are being held in the Texas County Jail in Guyon, Oklahoma. Now, when Cullum, Tad, was arrested, he had a rifle, ammunition, body armor, and what's been described as a go bag prepared. I think that by go bag, they mean a bag where this person could run away across the border and hide somewhere. Mom of two, Veronica Butler, was scheduled for a court hearing on April 17th, and her lawyer believes that she likely would have been granted unsupervised visitation with her children. And allegedly, Grandmother of the Year, not Tiffany Adams, was vehemently opposed to this. So it would seem that preventing Butler from getting these visits, unsupervised visits, was most likely the motive for the crime. The authorities haven't stated exactly how the women died, but according to the chief medical examiner, they were not shot. To me, this is upsetting because it may indicate that that broken hammer found at one of the crime scenes was used, along with the stun guns. We know that this crime was personal, at least for Tiffany Adams. This usually spells a rage-driven crime and the desire to get up close and personal with the victims. And guess what? This wasn't the first time that Tiffany Adams tried to do in Veronica Butler. According to the Twombleys' 16-year-old daughter, Tiffany Adams had previously hatched a scheme with Tad Cullum to do Veronica Butler in with an anvil in February. An anvil is a big, thick, flat piece of metal, and the plan was to make it look like an accident because apparently in Oklahoma, anvils fall off work trucks all the time. The only problem with that plan is that Veronica Butler didn't leave her house that day. Had she, I suspect she would have died earlier, and Jillian Kelly's life would have been saved. In that first scheme, Tad and Tiffany even traveled to Butler's home in Hugoton, Kansas, to pull off the caper. But again, Veronica never left her home. Now, it's come out that all four of these people who were arrested were members of an anti-government group called God's Misfits. This organization has religious ties. They would meet weekly, sometimes twice a week, at the Twombleys' home, according to Cora, the Twombleys' daughter. But a leader in God's Misfits says that the organization has nothing to do with the four people arrested. The leader's name is Preacher Squirrel. Okay. Preacher Squirrel is trying to distance himself from the crime, of course. Squirrel says that it breaks his heart that this happened to those two ladies who didn't deserve it at all. This may be the first time I find myself quoting a squirrel. Now, when Adams, Cullum, and the Twombleys had their initial court appearance, the hearing was said to be very emotional. The families of the victims were there, and they were very angry, and they wanted to get their hands on the suspects. In the arrest affidavit, it says that the father of Butler's two kids allegedly told his grandmother, a woman named Debbie Knox Davis, that he wouldn't have to worry about the custody battle much longer because his mother, Tiffany Adams, had it under control, that she knew the path the judge walked to work. I'll bet that judge is breathing a sigh of relief. And quote, we will take out Veronica at drop-off, end quote. Rickman was confirmed to be at a drug rehab facility in Oklahoma City at the time of Veronica's and Jillian's disappearance. Wrangler Rickman denies ever having this conversation with his grandmother. The key witness in the case is Cora and Cole's 16-year-old teenage daughter, who was referred to as CW in the arrest affidavits. CW told the authorities that she overheard group conversations between her parents, Tiffany Adams, and Tad Cullum related to Veronica Butler not protecting her children from her brother, and this was in reference to SA allegations. CW said she was told by her mother, Cora, that Adams, Cullum, and the Twombleys, and a guy named Paul Grice were involved in Butler and Kelly's deaths. It is shocking to me that a mother would talk to her daughter about committing a crime like this, but I think the reason she felt open to doing that is because she, her husband, Tad Cullum, and Tiffany Adams were all convinced that they were doing this as a moral mission under their organization, God's Misfits. They were using these SA allegations to justify taking the lives of Veronica and the person who was in the wrong place at the wrong time, Jillian Kelly, who leaves behind four children and a husband. And sadly, the Kellys were planning to move to Nebraska soon. So had this all gone down later, Jillian would likely have also been spared. And normally, Tiffany Adams had a different person who would supervise Veronica's visits with her children. But Adams gave that woman the day off and basically told her she wasn't going to need her for several weeks. Can't have any witnesses who know who you are. Now let's talk a little about this Paul Grice person. If he had a close involvement with the suspects and was part of their God's Misfits group, and he is mentioned in the arrest affidavit, why hasn't he been arrested? The affidavit also mentions a Barrett and Lacey Cook and says that Veronica Butler's children stayed the night with them, the Cooks, the day before Veronica and Jillian went missing. The affidavit also states that the God's Misfits group would meet regularly at the Cook's house. And yet the OSBI is saying that there are no further suspects in the case. How can Paul Grice and the Cooks be so close to the four defendants and not have any knowledge of the crime? KEKE News contacted Barrett Cook, the man who allegedly holds some of the weekly God's Misfits meetings at his house, but Barrett blocked the KEKE News number. And the only trace of Paul Grice is a Facebook profile where a post from December is now getting inundated with nasty comments. When the OSBI was asked why these people are allegedly connected in the affidavit but aren't considered suspects, the OSBI said they cannot comment and the case is still under investigation. By the way, Grandma Tiffany Adams is the Cimarron County, Oklahoma GOP chairperson. Not anymore, Tiffany. That's my cat, Remy. He is in the bathroom today because there are some people coming in to move things in and out, and the front door is going to be open, and I'd like to spare Remy from the local coyotes, javelina, and other predators. In short, I don't want him to be a coyote treat. I wanted to clarify exactly where the abandoned car was found. It was just off Oklahoma Highway 95 and Road L, south of Elkhart, Kansas, but still in Texas County, Oklahoma. It was a spot that Veronica Butler would have likely known very well. It was just down from the school where Veronica Butler graduated in 2015 as the school's only senior. That should give you some idea of how rural and small town this part of Oklahoma and Kansas is. Now, before Tiffany Adams spilled out her guts and told the truth to the police, she first told them that she'd called Veronica Butler at 9 a.m. that morning to confirm plans, but that Veronica said something had come up, so the pickup was off. Adams told the cops that the two kids had spent the night before with Barrett and Lacey Cook, and she, believing that Veronica had canceled the visitation, allowed the children to remain that morning with the Cooks. And if you believe Tiffany Adams about that, I have some pasture land in Oklahoma that you might be interested in buying. Now, when an OSBI agent interviewed the Twombly's daughter, CW, and her brother, in Carrick, Texas, the Twombly's, Cole and Cora, arrived and attempted to intervene. The affidavit says, quote, "Cora was verbally aggressive and was very upset with your affiant and said she had not granted access to her children. Cole exited the vehicle armed with a handgun in a holster on his belt." Now, investigators tracked signals from the phones on the morning after the disappearance to a property owned by Jamie Beasley. And I'm talking about the burner phones that Tiffany Adams purchased. There on that land, they discovered a hole that had been freshly dug and then filled with dirt and hay. Beasley, according to the affidavit, told investigators that Tad Cullum had cleared some concrete and done other work on March 29th with a skid steer, Bobcat type, small front loader. Cullum also rented the pasture for grazing cattle and had around-the-clock access. Now, the four individuals charged with crime seem to be bound together by their hatred of the government and their twisted interpretation of faith. Cole Twombly appears to be the most outspoken, at least on social media, and his posts went right up until April 12th, when he described celebrating his 50th birthday. In addition to ranch life, he posted or reposted on Facebook about Cliven Bundy and his bloody standoff with federal agents over grazing rights. Twombly also posted a lot of hateful stuff that is anti-vax, anti-LGBTQ, and anti-liberal. And according to a story that I read on rawstory.com, it appears that God's misfits have beliefs similar to the sovereign citizen movement mixed with QAnon conspiracies. And despite God's misfits' dislike of government, apparently it didn't stop them from accepting government farm subsidies. The EWG Farm Subsidy Database indicates that Tiffany Adams took at least $134,000 in subsidies since 2013. She took $2,828 in crop rotation payments in October of 2023, according to the USDA. All in all, this is one effed up story. Veronica's two children are now motherless, as are Jillian's four children. And despite the overwhelming evidence, we have to say these four people are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Until the next time, on Bed Crime Stories.
Cole, do you have anything to say to Jillian and Veronica's families?
Do you have any remorse?
Did you do it?
Did you murder those women?
Do you have anything to say to the children whose mothers were murdered?
Why?
Anything to say?
Anything to say to the families?